You're listening to the Street Smart Wealth Podcast, episode number 38. Welcome to Street Smart Wealth, delivering everything awesome on how to profit in your PJs at home with the best of offline and social media marketing strategies. I'm your host, Jackie Almer, and each week I'll be sharing the solid, proven tips and training that I used to create a multi-million dollar income from home, as well as exciting interviews with other top income earners to help you be successful in your home-based direct sales and network marketing business. If you don't have the Profit in Your PJs report, grab it over at profitinyourpjsnow.com. Well, thanks for tuning in for yet another Street Smart Wealth Profit in Your PJs podcast. I'm Jackie Almer, and on this particular show, I'm going to be talking to you about the ABCs of building a successful business. Now, this is actually a call that I recorded, a mentoring call that I did back in December of 2012, and it's kind of funny, you'll hear references to, I recorded it the day before the 21st of December, I believe it was, when the whole Mayan calendar thing was happening, and, you know, was it going to be the end of the world and all that. So it's kind of funny for me to listen in again and think back on that, and it really brought to mind my own experiences with Y2K. If you haven't heard my story before, I actually started building my online business in October of 1999 and started working on developing my own website. And my biggest fear at that time is that Y2K was going to happen and it was going to wipe out everything that I had done. Because for those of you who remember, you know, that was the big scare, that the world was going to change and as we know it and blah, blah, blah. So it was just kind of funny to reflect back on the whole thing with the Mayan calendar change and all that. And now today we know it was the end of a calendar and the welcoming in of a new era, a whole new dawn of great things ahead. And hopefully you are taking advantage of that and have spent this last almost year now making things really rock out for you. So sit back, listen in, let's talk about the ABCs of success. Be prepared to write down some notes. I'm only doing ABC. I won't take you all the way through the alphabet. We'll do some of that later. But just, you know, really listen in. You'll find the show notes over at jackiealmer.com/038. Here's the show.
This call is actually being recorded December 20th of 2012. We're all anxiously anticipating what might happen tomorrow on the 12/21/12, the last day of the Mayan calendar. Will we be here or will we not? I'm predicting we will. So I'm going full speed ahead just like normal, and I hope that you are doing the same. Well, today on the call, I want to discuss the ABCs of business success. And again, you know, I just really appreciate you being here. This won't be a super long call, but I will have time for your questions. We're at a busy time of year since it is right during the holiday season, so I like to get in, get out, make a few important points that I hope you'll take with you. And you know, it's so fun in our business, truly, that we have a wash, rinse, and repeat business. And that really is as challenging as the business itself gets. We do a few simple things. We find people to talk to about our business, and when you think about it, people are everywhere. The way you go about finding people can vary, but people are everywhere, offline, in restaurants, at dry cleaners, at the bookstore, you name it, people are everywhere. They're down the street from us. They're at parties with us. They socialize with us. They're at sporting events. They're at kids' activities. People are everywhere. Online, people are on Facebook. They're on LinkedIn. They're listening in on YouTube. They're looking in search engines. They're looking for solutions to different problems. So when you think about it, people are everywhere to talk to about our business. So what our job is to talk to them, invite them with good, solid, non-salesy language that we script out ahead of time to fit us, and then we share it with those who say, yeah, sure, I'll take a look at it. We don't get bogged down and worried about the people who don't say that. Then we follow up, we sponsor, we train, we duplicate with those who get it and are ready to get going, and then, of course, we continue following up with those for whom the timing isn't quite right. What we tend to do, though, is we tend to complicate it with all of our systems, our methods, and that type thing. So however it is that you go about the business of your business, remember this. First and foremost, it's always a relationship business, and it's truly built on one-on-one conversations. It's built on those in-home business launches, and it's built in any way that you can get your business in front of another person who's looking for a solution to some type of challenge or problem that you've already identified, and you've, you know, made the offer that you might have something that could fill the need for them. And then you allow them to make the decision about what's going to be right for them. So with that, let's get into the ABCs. And I've selected two words that correlate with each of those, A, B, C. Believe me, we're not going through the whole alphabet. We're just going to go through A, B, and C. So we're going to start with the A's, and that is attitude and action. I recently, this past weekend, actually had the opportunity to travel to Sarasota, Florida, and I attended a fantastic, fabulous beach holiday party. And while it was a party that was specific to my company, it wasn't something that I needed to attend. It wasn't something that I was putting on or my specific team or the company. It was hosted by a very good friend of mine who's actually cross-line from me, but we work together doing different things, and we have a lot of fun together. We brainstorm together, and we really work together to move forward the mission of our company. And she invited me to attend, and I thought, gosh, what a fun thing to attend. I'm going to do this. And the best thing about it is I got to bring my 17-year-old daughter. Now, my daughter was born into a network marketing family with a mom who's been building a business actually since before she was born. She attended a company convention at 3.5 months old, and she literally was passed from team member to team member as we celebrated success and the ability to share it together as a family, and it was just such fun. And really, she hasn't stopped going to events since then. And I do have a reason for sharing this, so bear with me here. Now, since that time, she's listened to hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of positive teachings and motivation on tapes. I'm dating myself, but it's true. CDs, DVDs, conference calls. She listens in as I call prospects, as I do follow-up calls. She listens as I coach and mentor team members and all of that. And it's kind of funny because today she has a very positive, can-do mindset that really doesn't stop. She's very committed to her own goals and her own dreams, and she's unwavering in her belief in her own ability to see those dreams through. And, you know, that's really one of the many gifts that success in a network marketing business can provide, not only for you, but for your family, and beyond even your own family, your children, and also families and children of others all around the world, and truly most of whom you'll never, ever meet. But you have the ability to spread the gift of what we have when you get involved, when you get motivated, when you get committed, when you take action, and when you have the right attitude. Now, we ate amazing food. We took a harbor cruise. We stayed at the Ritz-Carlton and spoiled ourselves. We walked the beach. We sunned by the pool, enjoyed the spice of life, truly. And that's not to brag or anything or say, look at me. That's truly coming from a position of being very humble and very grateful. And I was brought to tears several times over the weekend as I watched my daughter hobnob with other adults, talk about, you know, positive things, be very confident and poised. And I thought, I'm so grateful to be able to give her the gift of these different things. I'm grateful that I kept stumbling forward, truly, because you've all heard me say I was not a fast starter. I'm grateful that I kept putting one foot in front of the other over and over again, and really often feeling that I was walking blind. And that's the real secret of success. And that is that there is no secret. It's just continuing to move forward regardless. And so I want to share a couple of stories with you that you may have heard of before, but I hope you're taking some notes and write these down, because whenever you get discouraged or you wonder if it can happen for you, I want you to pull these out. I'd love for you to write them on an index card, put them in your wallet, and I'd love for you to pull these out and think about these over and over again. So think of Colonel Sanders and Kentucky Fried Chicken. Think about his fried chicken recipe. I think it's 11 herbs and spices, or 11 herbs and 7 spices, or he had some, you know, special little bent to his fried chicken recipe. He was turned down over 1,000 times. I think it was 1,009 times that he presented his recipe and his idea to people, and he was turned down. Walt Disney, 302 times. And in fact, Walt Disney, as you'll recall, maybe you've heard this before, but he was fired by a newspaper editor for lack of ideas. They didn't feel he was creative enough. And he also went bankrupt several times before he built Disneyland. And think about what an empire that is today. Maybe you've gone, maybe you've taken your children, maybe you've taken grandchildren, maybe you're looking forward to doing that as a parent someday or a grandparent someday. But think of the legacy that he left behind, and think about what we would be lacking in the world today had he given up on that, you know, 300th time or whatever it is. Albert Einstein didn't speak until he was 4 years old. He didn't read until he was 7. And his teacher described him as mentally slow, unsociable, and probably adrift forever in his foolish dreams. In fact, he was turned down by several colleges and universities. The movie Star Wars, the blockbuster Star Wars, which is a whole dynasty in and of itself, it was rejected by every movie studio in Hollywood before 20th Century Fox finally produced it. And it went on to become one of the largest grossing movies in film history. General Douglas MacArthur applied for admission to West Point, and he was turned down, not once, but twice. He tried a third time, and was accepted, and we all know that he marched into the history books, and, you know, our children and grandchildren today study about him. You know, Fred Astaire's first screen test, the memo from the testing director at MGM, that was in 1933. It said he can't act, he's slightly bald, he can dance a little, and Astaire kept that memo over the fireplace in his Beverly Hills home. I encourage you to do that. You know, get a chart, and when people tell you no, put a little hash mark on the for the no side, and then if people tell you yes, put a little hash mark there. But let those be a positive form of motivation for you to really keep going. There were 18 publishers who turned down Richard Bach's Jonathan Livingston Seagull before it was finally published in 1970, and in 1975 it had sold more than 7 million copies. Now, I recently did an interview on another show, and a great quote was put out there, and I don't know who came up with this quote, but the quote is, "We typically overestimate what we can accomplish in 1 year, and we underestimate what we can accomplish in 5 years." Now, I want you to really think about that. We overestimate what we can accomplish in 1 year. We underestimate what it is that we can accomplish in 5 years. So we often do our goal setting and our starry eyes and, you know, maybe a hypey picture that's painted for us by someone. We overestimate what we're able to accomplish in our business when we first get started. You know, real life gets in the way. We have jobs and we can't put into it the full amount of time that we want to, or we have a negative blueprint that we have to overcome, our fear of talking to people. Whatever it is, very often we have those things that we have to overcome. But I want you to remember that if you just keep putting one foot forward, one foot in front of the other, stumbling forward, as I mentioned that I did, you will absolutely get there. And so your attitude is all what makes this happen. Your attitude and how you handle the word no, how you handle what can be perceived as rejection sometimes in our profession, how you handle all of those things is what's going to chart the course for you in your business success. And when you really can take on the opinion and the belief that you don't need any one person, certainly you need people, but you don't need any one specific person to be successful. And when you have that bright, sunny, cheery attitude, when people tell you no and you thank them for their time, they do take note of that, even if it's subconsciously. And over time, a number of those people will come back to you. So the moral to this is never give up believing in yourself, believing in your mission, and believing in your own ability to see the job through. Now, the second A is action. And just like everyone whose story I shared, the thing that they had in common, they had two things in common. One was their positive attitude that kept them going. I'm sure that doesn't mean that they didn't get discouraged at times and, you know, fling themselves on the bed and wonder, oh, man, is it ever going to happen for me or whatever it is. I'm sure those times absolutely happened for them. But they got over that. You know, it's kind of like the saying, never quit on a bad day. They got rid of that negative attitude. They kept that positive attitude, and they kept moving forward. And by moving forward, they stayed in action. So just like they stayed in action, you must stay in action too. The biggest mistake that you can make is to think that one person's opinion or response to what you're doing or what you've shared with them means that everyone else thinks the same. So the question I ask you is, you know, do you think the same thoughts as all of your friends on every single subject? Do you differ with your friends on a variety of subjects? Maybe it's politics, religion, the type of food that you like, the type of movies you enjoy, different things like that. You can go down the list of your, you know, make your list of your top 100 candidates, and on that list you can sit and think about all the different things that you vary with them on in any other type of discussion. So, you know, give yourself permission and give them permission to not agree with you or not want to do what it is that you're choosing to do, and just keep going. Because as you work through that 100 names list, you will find those people who say, yeah, that sounds intriguing. I get that. I want to do that. I want to join you in your mission. And that absolutely will happen. So stay with a positive attitude. Do whatever you can. Feed your mind constantly. Get on calls. Listen to CDs, DVDs, read books, whatever it is. And create your own positive mission statement, your own positive affirmations. I've actually created a 41-minute recording. It's an MP3 recording that I created. There's lots of simple tools you can do it with. You can do it with Audacity. That's a free tool. If you have a Mac, you have GarageBand right on there. You can record it right into that, publish the MP3, put it out on the internet, put it on your phone, put it on your iPad, put it on your iPod, put it on any MP3 player. And I listen to that thing anywhere from 2 to 3 times a day. And it's me and my voice stating what I am going to see come to pass in my business, in my personal life. And you know what? That keeps me with a positive attitude. I can't help but feel excited when I hear myself stating over and over again those things that have already come to pass, those things that I'm bringing into fruition. And, you know, that puts me into a positive mindset to get into action each and every day. So those are the A's, attitude and action. Moving on to the B's are belief and brand. Belief and brand. Now, I love this quote. Faith is the sub. It's actually a proverb. I think it's from Hebrews, and I don't have the exact notification of it, number that it is. What it says is, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. And to me, that really spells out belief too. It truly does, because that's what we believe in. You know, we all believe the sun will rise tomorrow. And as I mentioned on the call earlier, well, maybe not tomorrow, since tomorrow will be 12/21/12, the end of the Mayan calendar. But I think most of us are pretty confident, especially if you're on this call, you'd probably be doing something else if you truly thought that, it was going to end. I think you'd be doing something else. But all kidding aside, most of us believe that the sun will rise and life and civilization is going to go on. We believe that every day. We get up with the confidence that the sun's going to rise, the earth is going to continue to, you know, rotate, the moon's going to come up. All those different things are going to happen. We believe that we're going to continue to take breaths and be alive and continue to function. So you must believe in things not yet seen in order for them to come to pass. It really is, it's so important, and that's such a big part of success in our business, is our belief before we actually see the results show up. Now, I'm sharing stories today, and so that wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't be complete without sharing the story, of course, of Roger Bannister, who was the first person known to break the 4-minute mile. And many people believed and stated publicly that it just couldn't be done. It hadn't been done before. It just couldn't be done. And once he broke it, within 2 months, two others did it, and hundreds, if not thousands of people have gone on to do it, you know, since then. And that, I think that was 1925 or 1930s or something like that. Maybe I'm getting that confused with Fred Astaire. But anyway, it was a while back, and a lot of people have moved beyond that goal since he did it. So who holds the record in your company? Think about your company. Think about the top 10 income earners. And who is it that holds the record? And do you have an aspire to achieve that particular goal? Or what is your goal? And is somebody in your company at that goal? So do yourself a favor and seek out 3 to 5 people in your company who have achieved what it is that you want, and ask them what their secret is. Ask them to share with you how they go about building the business. Ask them for their 5-minute success tip. I used to do that constantly when I first started in network marketing. Every year when I would go to my company convention, I would target just a few other people. You know, I'd pick out specifically a few other people who I wanted to ask the question of, and I would ask them, and it varied. You know, I didn't go to the same people every year, and it was kind of funny. What I started realizing is that it really sounded like a broken record. You know, maybe the way people, the language that they used, the way they introduced it, maybe the tools that they used to show the opportunity would vary. But by and large, it all became the same. They had a basic idea ahead of time of what they were going to say to people. Most of them used a third-party tool, whether it was at that point a cassette or a DVD or a CD or a magazine or something that they could put in the hands of another individual that would share exactly what it is that they were doing. Today we have technology. We have you know, internet videos, we have webinars, we have teleconferences, we have, you know, a lot of those different type things that we can use to share the opportunity with. But that really became the secret that I heard from people, that there is no secret. They took a very systematic approach to working their business. They had a daily method of operation, single daily actions. You'll hear it referred to in all different ways, but that was really the key. They had a calendar that was very scripted out. I will tell you today that if you look at my calendar, you'll know why I'm successful in this business, because my calendar is absolutely filled with everything that I'm doing, everything that I'm working on. And it's kind of a joke in my family, but I literally have a pop-up reminder in my smartphone that tells me when to go pick my daughter up from school. Not because I don't remember her, but it's easy for me to get caught up on a phone call or doing different things and, you know, lose track of time. So everything about my day is scheduled. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm not flexible. I'm certainly flexible. You have to be flexible in this business, in any type of business. Life requires flexibility. But it's very scheduled, and I'm very calculated, if you will, about how I spend my day and those things that I'm doing. And I'm getting even more diligent. You know, I really have been spending a lot of time in the last few weeks of this year looking over the last year. I do a lot of reevaluating, a lot of time I spend in my daytimer looking back over where I spent my time, what was productive, what produced for me, and those things that I'm going to make changes on for the next year, and I really encourage you to do the same thing. So we're really working on B, on our belief and developing those business skills. And then the next B is brand. We all have a brand. It's an overused term online in a lot of ways, but I really want to encourage you to begin thinking about what your brand is. And we all have one, whether we're online or offline. It's who you are, it's who you show up as, and it's what others say and share about you behind your back, so to speak. That could be a good thing or a bad thing. It's the essence of what it is that they get from you as a person, as a business leader, as a parent, all different type things. So my question for you is, how are you showing up as a brand, both online and offline? And have you spent any time thinking about your personal brand? How do you present yourself? How is your personality projected? How would someone describe you? Would they describe you as a positive person or a negative person, as a problem solver or a problem creator? How do people see you, view you, and describe you? That is going to go a long way toward them determining whether or not they want to be in business with you. And boy, I'll tell you, on Facebook, you can really see it all the time. I get a kick. I pick out, you know, certain people from time to time who I study, and I watch, you know, I'll go to their timeline and I watch the things that they're putting out there. And, you know, on one hand, they're putting out all this great hypey stuff about their opportunity, and then on the other hand, it's all a downer and how this is happening to them and that's happening to them. And I look at that and I think they're creating a brand that's not really it's not in parity all the time. You know, like it has a lot of disparity in it, and people develop a perception around that, and they decide who they may want to do business with based around that type of thing. Or if you're someone who's doing nothing out on social media but constantly promoting an opportunity, you may be turning off the very people who you really want to attract into your business, because they're looking at what you're doing and thinking, oh my gosh, if I decide to do this, that's what I'm going to have to do. Like, I'm going to have to fill the news feed with nothing but stuff about my opportunity, and all of my friends are going to see that, and I'd much rather, you know, approach them in a professional way than just a blatant advertising cycle that's out there. So you want to think carefully about how you're showing up as a brand and what you're projecting. Now, when you think about brands, think about celebrities and people who we know of in that way. And what are the thoughts, opinions, and adjectives that you associate with these names? So I'm going to just throw out a few names here, and you can begin, you know, you can just quickly think, what are the first one or two words that come to mind for you about this person? Tom Cruise. You know, what do you think about him? What's his brand? Marilyn Monroe. What are the adjectives that you think of about her when you think of her? Barack Obama. What things come to mind there? Clint Eastwood. Okay, he's definitely a brand, been around a long time. What are those words that you associate with him? Madonna. There's another big brand that's out there. Now, how about some well-known network marketers? Hopefully you'll know a few of these people, but we've got Richard Brooke. What are the words that come to mind when you think of Richard Brooke? Margie Alaprande. You know, big seven-figure income earner for the last 20-some years. What is her brand? What is her message? Randy Gage, you know, another well-known marketer out there. What are the things that come to mind about them? They've all created a brand, and all of us are creating a brand all of the time, We just don't often consciously think about it. So I want to really encourage you to think about the brand that you're creating online and offline. You're creating a brand for yourself offline, how you show up at a party, how you show up with your friends, how you show up at networking events, how you follow up, how you present your business, the word choices that you use. All those different type things are, you know, what make the difference for who you are and who what people associate with you, the words, the adjectives, the pictures that they associate with you. Companies have them. Think about companies. Think about Starbucks versus Dunkin' Donuts. When you think of those two, both of them serve coffee. Both of them serve some type of breakfast food, a pastry, a bagel, a donut, something along those lines. But what's the difference? What words and adjectives do you associate with Starbucks versus Dunkin' Donuts? How about Coke or Pepsi? Another, you know, two very common things, but both of them have a very different brand that's associated with them. It's kind of funny. You know, for me, what comes to mind when I think of Coca-Cola, I think of Santa Claus at Christmas and the polar bears, and I think about so many ways that they brand themselves around holidays, around events, and different things like that. And to be really honest, nothing comes to mind for me with Pepsi. And I'm not a big soft drink person. I probably drink one or two sodas a year, no kidding, but I am a Coke drinker, and I prefer it out of the bottle. But anyway, that's another story. I mean, a glass bottle, and, you know, many of you may feel that same way too, but it's kind of funny. I can't think of anything about Pepsi. I can see their logo, but nothing comes to mind for me with Pepsi. Even dogs have a brand. So think about this. When you hear the word Rottweiler, what comes to mind for you? Poodle, pit bull, Labrador Retriever. Dogs have brands too, and so you have one as well. So you really want to spend some time thinking about the adjectives that you project, again, when you're at networking events, when you're out on social media such as Facebook, LinkedIn, if you're creating YouTube videos, if you're blogging, any of those things, what are you projecting? If you're calling your warm market, what are you projecting? Are you using well-thought-out language that's very professional? And by professional, I don't mean that you have to be super scripted and you don't have to be a super salesperson. In fact, you don't. What you don't want to do is come across as salesy, as hypey, as, you know, any of those type things. That's really not what your goal is. You want to present yourself as just very matter of fact, just sharing the facts, you know, would love to know if you're interested kind of a thing. And then how do you do on follow-up? What's the brand that you're projecting with the follow-up that you do in your business? Are you consistent? Do you show up when you say you're going to, or do you take that assumption, well, you know, if they were interested, they would call me back? That's terrible thinking and will really be a detriment to your business. It really, truly will, because chances are they may have moved on to someone else who they feel that they're going to get the support from if you're not following up. So are you described as professional, expert? Don't let that word throw you. You don't have to know very much, just a little bit more than anyone else to be perceived as an expert. Are you dependable? Are you warm? Are you educated? Are you interested? Or are you known as pushy, salesy, you know, cluttering up the feed on Facebook with overkill about your business? Are you perceived as someone to avoid? Are people blocking you in the news feed even? Of course, you don't know that they are, but chances are if you're, you know, doing too much of stuff that people don't want to see every time, because people don't come to social media to be constantly pitched on an opportunity, it could be that people have blocked you, and the people, again, the people who you'd like to attract don't even see you showing up anymore. So you want to think about it and strive to build a brand that's worthy of referrals, where people would feel confident saying, well, you know, I may not be interested, but I know someone who might be. You know, let me pass on your information, that type thing. That's really an important part of it. Okay, so finally we come down to the C's. And the two C words are commitment and consistency. Now, there's a story about two laborers who were setting bricks at a construction site. When one was asked, he said he was building a wall, while the other one, when he was asked, proudly proclaimed that he was building the Sistine Chapel. So what is your big picture, your very big picture of what you're building? Be very clear on that. Are you a bystander, or are you fully in the game? Fully in the game, okay? It's time that you commit. It's time that you step up and commit, and this being the end of the year, if you haven't achieved what you wanted in 2012, or maybe you've started on it, but it's still not quite where you want it to be, now's the time to make that commitment. And we'll talk about now the true story of commitment versus involvement. And you may have heard this one before, but it really is worth sharing, because it really does paint a picture. A pig and a chicken are walking down the road. The chicken says, "Hey, pig, I was thinking we should open a restaurant. The pig replies, maybe, what would we call it? The chicken responds, how about ham and eggs? The pig thinks for a moment and says, no thanks. I'd be committed, but you'd only be involved. So sometimes that story is presented as a riddle, too. In a bacon and egg breakfast, what's the difference between the chicken and the pig? And the answer is, the chicken is involved, but the pig is committed. So which are you? Only you really know the true answer for yourself to that. Talk is cheap, okay? Action is where it's at. So now really is the time to decide. And I do say that. Talk is cheap. You know, in my it'll be 19 years next month that I've been involved in network marketing. And in all that time, the people who have come into my business and told me ahead of time everything great that they were going to do in my business, the difference they were going to make, all this stuff, how they were going to make me rich, or they were going to do this, or they were going to sign up that, or whatever, you know, none of that ever came to fruition, not with one single person. But the person who comes in and says, I'm coachable, tell me what I need to do, and I will follow in those footsteps, those are the ones who've gone on to build a big business. So I always say, talk is cheap, action is where it's at. So don't tell me what you're going to do, go do it, and then come back to me and share your results with me. Once you're committed, you know, then we can talk about consistency. And the reality of it is, without consistency, commitment is useless. It's really meaningless. Here's my experience about consistency. It's a must as you build and you grow your business. First of all, consistency provides something that you can track and measure. And while this is a business where we're not typically taught those skills so much, if you will learn to track your daily activities, those things that you can control on a daily basis, number of new contacts, number of follow-ups, number of new distributors, number of new customers, number of trainings, number of times that you got the product out there exposed to someone new or something like that, when you can track those, then you have results that you can measure. But until you've actually tried something for a period of time and in a consistent manner, you really can't decide if it works or not. How do you measure your own effectiveness if what you're measuring isn't performed consistently? So consistency is so important. So set a course of action for 90 days to 6 months. I really encourage you to do that. Whatever you're going to do, take it on for a full 90 days at least, and preferably 6 months, and see what happens when you're very consistent with it. And consistency is what creates accountability. Now, I do a weekly accountability call with my team. I give them a place that they can show up, and they can report and be accountable. It's kind of like the gym. We all know that the gym really works better when we have a gym buddy, someone who we show up at the same time, we work out with, we, you know, encourage them, we push them to do better and that type thing. The reality of it is most people never show up. And some show and never report, and others show up faithfully, and they share the good and the bad. They get encouragement. We all learn from them, and we share together. And, you know, there's no bad as long as one is in action. That's really the key. That's truly the key. So you've got to create consistency along with your commitment. Another thing that consistency does is it brands you and your reputation. Business growth really requires a track record of success. You can't establish a track record if you're constantly shifting gears or you're trying new things. You have to pick a system. And, you know, once you pick that system, commit to it and stick with it. If you're following a system that others have used for success and you just aren't seeing it, it's you. It's not the system. I promise you that. So what's your plan to stay consistent for this next year? What's your commitment to it? And then what's your plan to stay consistent? Finally, you know, I really want to close with a powerful message that I had delivered 3 times, so I'm taking notice of it. I'm really taking notice of this. This came to me 3 different times from 3 different people. I want you to, and I kind of opened the call with this. We talked about this. I want you to take a look at your calendar and the time spent this last year. Go back to your day timer, and hopefully you've been tracking and writing things down. Identify those things that are time suckers for you, that really aren't producing what you want from a personal basis, from a professional basis, in your business or whatever. Where is it that you need to learn to say no? It's okay to say no. It really, truly is. If you're serious about really taking your business to the next level this next year, before you say yes to one more thing, before you put one more thing on your calendar, before you say yes to volunteering, heading up this committee, doing this, or anything, I want you to ask yourself this question. Is this going to lead me to my goal, or is it going to take me further away? And I want you to be really honest with yourself and then decide with no whining whatsoever. I'm truly wishing you the best in 2013, and that's a little bit on what I have to share on the ABCs of business success. I would love to open it up to any questions that you have. A couple of people have shared that it was Hebrews 11:1 that original quote came from, so thank you for sharing that.
Hey, Jackie, it's Danielle.
Hey, Danielle.
A couple of questions. One, how do you break out your day as far as the how much time you spend on each of the different activities, whether it's actually calling people, your follow-up, and how do you determine what activities to take, including like personal development and balancing things with the other parts of your life?
That's a great question, and we're going to be doing January is going to be spent on, you know, calendaring and all that kind of stuff and really setting yourself up for success with those type things. But basically, I do a lot of personal development all throughout the day. I listen to the Home Business Radio Network. I constantly have it going in the background if I'm not making calls or not doing those things where it would be a distraction, or maybe I have another CD or DVD in, you know, that I'm listening to. So it's kind of funny. I am constantly feeding my mind. You know, and I mentioned about my daughter. I mean, literally, my kids grew up listening to, and we ultimately got to a point where we had to, like, flip a coin. We could listen to the Disney radio for, you know, 30 minutes and then back to my CDs and DVDs and that type stuff. But, you know, they joke about it now, but it's amazing how much of that did transfer over to them, and I'm really thrilled about that. So personal development is something that I no longer really have to set aside time for it. It's just a part of what I do. If I get in my car, it's in my DVD player or CD player, or it's on the radio. I can hook my iPhone right into it and play, you know, Home Business Radio Network. Or, you know, it's amazing through that application. You can go to homebusinessradionetwork.com and download the mobile app, and there's a lot of stations in there. Dave Ramsey has stations. Hay House, which is Louise Hay, she has a whole network in there, even beyond Home Business Radio Network. I've discovered some amazing things. Dave Ramsey has a great, he calls it Entre Leadership. He has a great podcast that he does twice a month on all different topics around entrepreneurism, leadership, different things like that. So there's a lot of good stuff that you can do that way. And as far as the other things, I am a huge proponent. Now, everybody will be different on this because all of us have our best peak times throughout the day. So I think that you should choose your best peak times throughout the day to do those primary income-producing activities where you're going to be full on. So that's contacting a minimum of 2 new people a day and doing follow-up calls. Those things never vary off my schedule. And I have time that is actually blocked into my calendar when I know it's my peak time, when I really hit it. And for me, for whatever reason, Pacific time, 11 to 1 is my best time. Now, I do a team calling blitz with my team that I start a little earlier, and because we've done that for a while, I can, you know, get into that and really get going with that. But you just want to find those peak times for you when you really feel like you're at your best. You know, for me in the evenings, I'm tired. I'm exhausted, and I don't do my best calling. However, if I have people that need to be called in the evening, you know, I can certainly rally for that. But I do most of that during the day, and I've found those peak times. Same with follow-up. Again, unless I have an absolute appointment set already and that's in my calendar, then I work that into the times that fit my schedule, fit for me, because I really do maintain that saying that you can't do it right to the wrong person or wrong to the right person. So even if I'm leaving messages, you know, it's going to fall on that person, you know, for whom the timing is right. In fact, it's kind of funny. Yesterday I got 2 callbacks from follow-ups that I had left messages for of people that are very interested. So when people are truly interested, they will call you back. So that's kind of how I break it up. I make sure that the income-producing activities are always there, the active prospecting. In fact, I just uploaded a YouTube video on the difference between active prospecting and passive marketing. If you could just go to YouTube and you type in Jackie Almer, you'll find it, and it's one of the latest ones on there. But, it, you know, it just really talks about making sure that you're clear on the difference, because we can get caught up in, you know, whether it's, you know, putting flyers on bulletin boards or, you know, putting business cards in books at Barnes & Noble, or whether it's blogging or those type things. Those are all things that can promote your business, but those are passive marketing. That's where you're waiting for people to come to you. You always want to make sure that you've got active prospecting as part of what your daily plan consists of. Does that help?
That's great. Thank you so much.
Yep, great question.
So there you have it, the ABCs of success in your business, whatever business it is that you're building. Attitude and action, belief and brand, commitment and consistency. So hopefully those things will help you. Write those down, check in with yourself on a daily and weekly basis, and ask yourself how you're doing in those areas. And definitely remember to learn to say no. That was one thing that really helped me, and to use my calendar and keep it really full and really scheduled with what those actions and activities are that move me forward in the business. So again, you can find the show notes over at jackiealmer.com/038. And while you're over at that website, if you have any questions or topics that you'd like to hear about on a future podcast, you can use the little SpeakPipe. You can go into jackiealmer.com/question. You'll see the little recording off there to the right, the little icon. You can click on it. Leave me a recorded message with your question or a topic that you'd like to see covered, and I would love to do that for you. So until next week, have an amazing, amazing journey in your home business. If you would like even more tips and training, I have a free gift for you over at profitinyourpjsnow.com. That's my nuts and bolts on how to be successful in your network marketing business. You can also get more at my blog, jackiealmer.com, and be sure to connect with me on my Facebook page, facebook.com/streetsmartwealth, and on Twitter, @JackieAlmer. See you on the next show, and have a fun, profitable week.